Good morning. Today I'll be reading from Luke 13, 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down."
Thank you, Jeff. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love and your grace, God. God, we are reminded in this passage that Jeff just read that not everything has a simple answer. Some things are hard to understand. Some things are difficult to understand. So God, help us to remember that even in those difficult things, in those things that don't seem black and white, to trust you, to lean on you, to follow you. Because we know that your way is the best way. It's the way of truth, life, and grace. And we're thankful for that. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So this weekend for spring break, Kaylee and Harley and I decided we were going to take a little trip to Tulsa, we're going to go to the zoo, and we're going to go to the cool new park there in Tulsa called The Gathering Place. And if you ever get the chance to go, you don't have to be a kid to enjoy it. It says it's for kids of all ages. This guy. And so there's all kinds of cool things in there. It's like 100 acres of different things. But we decided we were going to go look around and have a good time and spend some time during spring break. Well, while we were there, the hotel that we were staying at decided to also have a bazillion people there. I guess everybody got the same Groupon deal that we did. But Groupon didn't tell the hotel. And so come Friday night, it was pretty busy. And I'm standing in line because our keys they had messed up after we got back from the zoo. And so I'm standing in line with about 30 other people, kind of just waiting my turn, looking at my phone, passing the time. Well, as I'm kind of waiting in line, I'm sitting there listening to all the people around me. And it's crazy how the longer you stand in line, the level of complaining goes up. You know, you ever been there? Have you ever been that person? Yes, I'm raising my hand. I've been that person. I even felt that way. About halfway through the line, 20 minutes later, I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, how long is this going to take? I just got to fix my keys. I'm contemplating cutting everyone so that I can just get my keys fixed. I'm not checking in, right? I'm already here. I already paid my money. So like, can I go ahead and get my new keys? So I'm contemplating it, and there's lots of different things going around in the background, and I hear all these different comments, and some of them, I'll be honest, were quite rude. And I find myself, as I'm watching all these comments, one lady decided to get a little bit more vocal and kind of point it towards the people that were at the booth checking everyone in. And the lady behind the desk ends up kind of explaining, hey, we had a dryer go down, and we are short staff on our cleaning staff, and so they're still cleaning rooms. So all of you that are checking in, we're still waiting for those rooms to get clean. Perfectly good explanation, right? Apparently not. The complaining continued. And I'm sitting there going, in my mind, I'm sitting there going, wow, like they're trying to do all they can, and there's some pretty rude people to the people behind the desk. And they have nothing to do with it. They didn't break the dryer. They didn't tell somebody to not show up at work. I mean, there's just all kinds of things going on. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, this is kind of getting a little tense. And I'm getting closer, and I've got about three people in front of me, and it just kept going and kept going. I'm just like, oh my goodness. And so I get up there, and they say, oh, we're sorry, we've had a few keys that are messed up, so they fix the keys. So I get back in, and I go up the elevator to the fifth floor, go to our room, hit the key, and it doesn't work again. And I'm sitting there going, I gotta go stand in that line again. So then I'm contemplating again, should I just go ahead and go to the desk? I mean, I was just here, right? I can just scoot up there in front of people. Let's see what entails after that. Who gets mad, okay? And so I decide, well, at that time, there wasn't as many. There was only about 4 or 5 people in the line. I'm like, okay, I can wait a little bit. So I get back in line, and I'm waiting. And the grumbling had kind of gone away, mostly because a certain group of people had already left that were doing all the grumbling. And we're sitting there, and it's still going on. They're still trying to get rooms ready. I get up to the desk, and I say, hey, I was just here. These keys still didn't work. And she says, I'm so sorry. Maybe I programmed them wrong or whatever. It's the little card keys. And she gets them and does it again. I'm like, no problem. So I head back up the elevator to the 5th floor, go to my door, put the key in. Red light, still not working. Okay, those of you who don't know Brad, in my younger days, I had quite a bit of a temper. And I would get mad easy. And one of the things that a friend of mine taught me in college was just to stop, take a deep breath, and think about why you're angry. Because I started to get a little frustrated. I'm like, I'm going to have to take a third trip back to this line. And I found myself thinking and behaving, yes, behaving, like the same people that I was kind of questioning in the line. Judgment sets in. These people don't know what they're doing. What is going on? Don't they know how to program a key card? It's not that hard. I'm sure you just press buttons. I bet I could go back there and figure it out. Yes, these are all running through my head as Brad, okay? True confessions right here, okay? So I'm sitting there, and I call Kaylee. Thank goodness her parents were at the hotel, so Harley and her were able to sit in their room and kind of relax, but the diaper bag, the all kinds of stuff, we're trying to go to dinner, are still in the room. It's been over an hour at this point of total waiting and trying to get this going. It's almost 6 o'clock, and if you know my daughter, when she gets hungry, she turns into me times 10 on the angry side. And so we're sitting there kind of waiting around. And I'm like, okay, calm down. We're going to go down there. I tell her what's going on. And so I go back down. Well, the line had gotten longer. And I'm like, okay, Brad, you're just going to cut up there. Something deep inside me said, Brad, you probably shouldn't do that. So I stood in line and I waited. And I waited about another 15 minutes. And I get back up there and I'm kind of frustrated. And I get to the desk. I said, ma'am, third time, not working. And she goes, there's got to be something wrong with your door. And I'm like, you think? But no, but that was the rude side of Brad, okay? And so I'm like, what's going on? And so I'm sitting there, and she goes, and she calls maintenance and said, hey, this room is not working. Can you guys meet there? Well, come to find out in the background, they had been swamped as well. If anything could have gone wrong in the hotel that day, it went wrong. And I started to then, at that point, as I'm going back up to meet the engineering guy, get a little frustrated because I'm still waiting. And just like Harley, I'm starting to get hangry. And we're sitting there, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, they show up. And they say, okay, let's check it. Super nice guys. They check it, they fix it and everything. And they said, here's the thing, though. We got it fixed, but your key cards are still not going to work. You'll have to go get new key cards. But we'll let you in your room and get all your stuff. I'm like, okay. So we get all the diaper bag stuff and get everything, and we head back down. And I get there and get in line. Of course, the way my man mind works, okay? Yes, man mind. I have one goal in mind. I'm going to get this key thing fixed. And Kaylee reminds me, let's go eat dinner. We can get the keys afterwards. And I'm like, no, I'm getting the key fixed right now, okay? And she's like, no, let's get some food because she knows me, all right? And so we decide to go, and we get the key fixed. Well, we're coming back. And we're sitting there at the table after we came back from dinner and all that kind of stuff. And we're sitting there, and the lady that was working the counter was still there. And I'd calmed down, and I started to think through some things. And I walked up, and some things that else had gone wrong. And it was just us at the counter. And I said, how's it going? And she said, you need your keys, don't you? And I was like, am I that memorable? And she said, well, I know when there's a lot of problems. And she says, thank you for being patient. Right, yeah, and I'm sitting there going, and it was that moment of self-realization. I hadn't been very patient, but she is still acknowledging me for my patience, and I'm sitting there going, man, if you only knew what had been going through my head, you probably wouldn't have said that. But I started to think, you know, in all that, everything that was going on, I was worried about something, let's be honest, pretty silly in the grand scheme of the world, right? I mean, first world problems, anybody? Okay. And she began to say, and I was like, well, I said, well, I appreciate that. And I said, I know things have been pretty crazy. And she says, if it could have gone wrong today, it went wrong. And I was like, yeah, I heard some people being pretty rude. I said, I kind of thought through some of that stuff, a little bit of confession to her. And she says, yeah, she said, people think for some reason that we're not empathizing with it and that we're not trying, but we are limited on what we can do and what we can answer and what we can provide information for. And it was that moment that clicked in me, hey, Brad, sermon illustration. Kind of. And I started to think, oftentimes in our lives, there are those things that we need right now, that answer, and we don't get it. Not everything's got that black and white, clear-cut answer. And the same thing is going on here in Luke. And Jesus is faced with a question that it falls really interesting in here, because last week we were ahead in chapter 13, and now we're kind of looking back at chapter 13, what's already happened. And he gets asked this question that if we glance over it, we don't really understand what's going on. So what had happened is there were some Galileans, which were most of the people that were following Jesus were Galileans. And they're sitting there talking, and these guys come up and ask them, hey, what happened here? What do you think of this? Because while the Galileans had given sacrifices, Pilate had come in with his Roman army and had basically killed them, and the bloods had mixed, which is a no-no in Israelite sacrifice. And it caused this whole thing, okay, who was in the wrong? Were these people unfaithful and that's what caused their demise? Or was it Pilate's fault and all this kind of stuff? And just like in Jesus' form, most of the time, he answers their question with something that they don't think is any relevant, but actually makes more sense, right? You ever had somebody that does that? Most politicians do that, right? They don't really answer the question, right? They answer a question with a question or something else that kind of gives what they want to say. And in a way, I mean, if you really look at it, Jesus kind of does the same thing, and you got to giggle a little bit because they ask a pretty point-blank, black-and-white question, and he gives them not a point-blank, black-and-white answer. And the whole thing there, Jesus starts to kind of talk about, it's not really the point on who was right, who was wrong in this situation, but that suffering happens. Difficulties happen. And he tells this parable. It's an interesting little parable about a fig tree. And this fig tree wasn't growing. It wasn't doing anything. It wasn't doing anything right. And they're getting ready to just say, they're going to cut it down. And somebody says, comes to him and says, no, how about we give it a little bit of time? And we build a little area around it. We add a little bit of manure, fertilize it up, and see how it does. Let's give it time. Time and patience are things we're not very good with. I'm not very good with it. And Jesus is trying to point out a question that sometimes, or point out an answer that sometimes things are not as we want them. Because really that's oftentimes what we want in a black and white answer is we want it the way we want it. It's got to be this way. And so when someone doesn't answer it in the way we want it, we get a little uneasy. And I can imagine the people around Jesus that time a little bit uneasy. Kind of like the impatient person standing in line at the hotel. A little bit uneasy. Even though they got the answer of what was going on, it wasn't really changing their situation. The truth was is the complaining and rudeness wasn't changing the situation either. I could get as mad as I wanted about my key not working. It didn't change the fact that the key wasn't working. And so this whole story then laid out with what we would look at in our passage in Isaiah. It's kind of interesting how these passages lay out. And so in Isaiah, we have this words given by Isaiah as the mouthpiece of God. And he talks about this huge feast. That if you're thirsty, you're not going to be thirsty anymore. If you're hungry, you're not going to be hungry anymore. And all the things that are going on in Isaiah 55, those first nine verses there. I challenge you to go read it. There's this push here that everything that's going wrong is going to be made right. And this happens in Isaiah, okay? And oftentimes, rightly so, we push that and kind of relate that to Jesus later on. But he's also giving a word of hope in the time that he's talking. And so he's talking about a feast and all the things going on. Now, we don't do feasts the way they did it back in the day, okay? When we have feasts, we think of Thanksgiving with family, right? When they had feasts, it was true open hospitality. Everyone was invited. They would go invite everyone in the town. It didn't matter where you came from and all that kind of stuff. You probably heard the parable that Jesus tells about the, the rich man who has the banquet, and he invites all of his friends, and nobody wants to come, so he says, well, we'll go invite these people that maybe they're the least of these. But that's really what Jewish hospitality in that day was about, is if you had a feast, you invited everyone, and it was a big sacrifice. You had to come up with a lot of food, okay? It's kind of like an over-the-top wedding, okay? You got to provide a lot of food. There's debt that comes in that, right? Right, Chambers? No, I'm just kidding. You're getting ready to have one of those, okay? There's a lot of people coming. You got to get all of that kind of stuff, right? There's a lot of different things go on, and most of the time, the very idea of us inviting more than the people we like, let me say that again. Inviting more than the people we like is, let's be honest, we don't do it very often. If I'm going to invite you to my house, I'm going to make sure I can stand you for that time. We invite the people we like, maybe, and sometimes it's family, we don't get a choice. But, you know, so different things that happen along that line, all right? But there's a lot of different things that we'll invite certain people that we like and kind of feel in it. Well, in that day, it was for everyone. And this feast that Isaiah talks about is like the ultimate hospitality feast. Anyone who's thirsty, you're going to get water. Anyone who's hungry, you're going to get food, and so on and so forth down the road. It's this huge inclusion of everyone. It's a big deal. And so we kind of overlay that Luke passage with the Isaiah passage, and Jesus has this change that oftentimes we question things on who's included in the feast. Who's included in the church? There's that question. And we oftentimes will draw lines in the sand. And in the Isaiah passage tied with the Luke passage, Jesus says, my ways may be a little bit more difficult, but they're the ways of hope. They're the ways of grace. And they take some repentance. And I'm not talking about repentance of just like saying, okay, I'm going to pray a prayer and repent. Repentance is bigger than that. It's realizing that there's a change that needs to happen. It's related when it's talked about. I hear you, Brady. And so like this whole idea of that this change that all of a sudden is a U-turn. I'm going a direction and I realize that it's not the right way. It's not the way of Jesus. And there needs to be a U-turn. There needs to be a complete change of direction so that I'm headed on the right path following after Jesus. That's what illustrating in that way is what repentance really is. And the interesting thing is that in Luke, tied in with Acts because it's the same author, to repent is to turn away from the assumptions, attitudes, and actions of the old age or the way things are, and to live towards the values and practices of the kingdom of God as taught by Jesus and lived out in the life of the church in Acts. That's what repentance really is. It's saying that I'm going this direction and the things of old, the things that I thought were the right way, the places where I drew a line in the sand, I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to follow Jesus past this point. I'm going to say, no, that needs to continue. I need to follow that way. My attitudes, my assumptions, those are big ones, okay? Need to change. And now I'm going to put the old way aside to take on the new way. Because there's an interesting thing that happens. You know, Jesus knows that we will always find a way to justify ourselves. I mean, I can be rude in the line because it's their fault, right? I didn't create the situation. I got a baby who needs her diaper changed. I can justify that. I can justify my actions. But we justify before we seek justice for someone else. It's very selfish. We will always find a way to protect power over people because we like the status quo when we're comfortable. Anything that takes us out of our comfort changes the status quo and challenges us to look at things through a different perspective. And we will always find a way to turn the spotlight on others before taking a good hard look at ourselves. It's a challenging thing. And if we're not careful as a church, we're the same way because, let's be honest, we draw lines in the sand. I'll follow you, God, to this point, but that's about as far as I'm going to go. Anything beyond that is outside my comfort zone. That's too hard. Or we make a justification for why we can't go past that line. We can't push past that point because of comfort or because of a preconceived idea or the status quo is too comfortable. But the truth is, the moment we draw a line in the sand, I love you, buddy. The moment we draw a line in the sand to create how far we'll go in following Jesus' way is the moment we truly need repentance. Repentance recognizes that there is no line in the sand. Look at who Jesus went to. Look to the links all the way to death that Jesus went. The line in the sand is something we draw, not what God draws. It's our own doing. Who we will go to, who we will show love to, includes all people. You know, there's a story in a book that Rusty and Todd and I use as kind of a commentary, Nathan uses too, but there's a story, and I was trying to think through as I read this story where I'd heard it before, because I knew I'd heard it before. And then I remembered I had heard, there's a guy named Tony Campolo who is a professor up at Eastern University up in Philadelphia. And if you don't know who that is, maybe you know who Shane Claiborne is, but Tony Campolo was kind of one of the professors for Shane Claiborne. Anyway, I heard Tony Campolo speak back in like 2009 at a conference I was at. And he went on to tell this story. And he was doing a conference or speaking at something in Hawaii. And he lives in the East Coast, so the time change is pretty big. And he's kind of an early riser type person, so he goes to this conference, and he finds himself really tired, so he goes to bed, and he wakes up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? Can't go back to sleep. He's like, I might as well get up. I'm going to go somewhere where there's a 24-hour diner and get some breakfast. So he goes to this 24-hour diner, and he sits down. And as he's sitting there, this group of ladies come in. And we'll keep it PG, they're ladies of the night. They're talking about what's going on. They'd obviously come off their shift, okay? And as he's sitting there eating his breakfast, they're all talking and different things, and he overhears that one of the ladies' his birthday is the next day. And they're kind of talking about different things, and she's like, are you going to have a party? No, I haven't had a birthday party in my entire life. And, well, we could have cake. Well, I've never had a birthday cake in my entire life. And she's just kind of pushing it off. It's no big deal. And Tony just sitting there listening. And they keep talking and everything. And they go ahead and leave. And he finishes up his breakfast. And he talks to the guy that's working the counter there at the restaurant. And he says, would it be okay if tomorrow night I came about the same time with a bunch of birthday party stuff and we threw a birthday party for her? Her name was Agnes. And he's like, yeah, because he checked earlier. They kind of come in there every morning. And so he's like, yeah, that'd be great. So he goes throughout the day and goes, gets all his party stuff, shows up about 2:30 in the morning with all of his party decorations and a cake that says Happy Birthday, Agnes, on it. They even made some contact with a bunch of people that were in that area that might have known her and different things, or friends, maybe some other people in the area, and they've packed this cafe out. And they get in there, and as she comes in with her friends, they go, surprise! And just a moment of smile and then tears start. Never had a birthday party, never had a birthday cake. And they all are saying happy birthday. They sing happy birthday, and they're getting ready to get to the cake. And she says, would it be okay if I kept the cake instead of eating it because I've never had one for a little while? And Tony looks at her and says, it's your birthday. You can do whatever you want. So she keeps the cake, and they all eat, and they celebrate. And so Agnes then goes out to call, I think, a family member or something like that. And as she's out and everything, Tony gathers the entire people around that are in the cafe, and he says, hey, let's pray for Agnes. And so they gather around, and some of them awkwardly grab hands, and he prays for Agnes. And after they get done, the restaurant owner, person working the counter there, says, looks at Tony and says, I didn't know you were a preacher. And he acknowledges, sort of, professor, preacher. And he says, what kind of church are you at? What kind of church has a preacher like you? And he looks, and I'm going to say the word, and you can explain it later to your kids. He says, a church who throws birthday parties for prostitutes. And it's a challenging thing, because we can put whoever we want in Agnes's place. Whatever stereotype, characteristic, personality, life choice, whatever you want to put in there. And the question is, are we people who throw birthday parties for them? Because here's the deal. Jesus met the woman who was brought to him, caught in adultery, riding in the sand, and he makes this statement to the people who want to stone her. And he says, you without sin, cast the first stone. The truth is no matter what we put in that stereotype, we've all been in that place, needing grace, needing love, needing to be welcomed, needing to be shown love. And so the question is not a question of whether or not you agree with someone's decisions, okay? Agreement is not a prerequisite for love. It's not the way it works. Jesus encountered many people that I guarantee you he didn't agree with their choices. But he showed them love anyway. And he died on the cross for them anyway. And he was raised to life and shown grace and gave them hope anyway. Agreement is not a prerequisite for love. It's not a prerequisite for grace. It is given freely. And just as our theme says, an exodus for all. The exodus was the single most important thing that happened in the Israelite people. It's the one thing that they look at as God's big moment of change in their lives. The big moment of grace that was shown in their people group. And it's not about being brought to a new place or entering a place of the promised land. The exodus is about grace. It's about hope. It's about being under oppression and no longer under that oppression anymore. All of us have things that hold us at bay, that hold us in chains. Some of them just look different than others. But all of us need the grace of God. All of us. That's why the church needs to be people who throw birthday parties. They need to be people that show grace to all, that welcome all people, because again, agreement is not a prerequisite for love or grace. It's to be shown to all people, no exceptions.